Welcome to today's Encore Show, sports fans. We have a real bizarre thing here. We have our good friend, the wonderful Arthur Barn, Dr. Arthur Barn, and Dr. Barn is in a bathtub. He's in a bathtub, and he's going to be talking to us about his exploits as a former vampire hunter, and now he is a vampire denier. And then the Doolies are on, and their stupid Halloween contest that involves breaking into people's homes.
Yeah, it's Spookorama.
Spookorama. So there you go. Let's get out of the way and listen to this on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Yeah. Welcome. Halloween week, huh? Well, it's Tedoween week. That's right. Tedoween week. Ted Bell and all the things that's going on with him at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I don't want to think about it. It's, you know, I don't mean to laugh, but last year was...
Well, you're laughing, but last year was a pure disaster for him. Tedoween, he was trying to scare people.
Yeah, what happened at Tedoween, let no man put us on... And never mind.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
I want to get on the line here because we haven't talked to this chap in a long, long time. Dr. Arthur Barn is joining us.
Oh, Dr. Barn.
Yeah, Dr. Arthur Barn from the... from the many, many years that he spent... From the many years that he spent hunting vampires. How are you, sir?
Yes, Dr. Barn here, holding the floor with Phil Hendry. I'm in the bathtub now.
All right, hold on. Let's can the music there. We have you, Dr. Barn, now.
I don't have any music on right now.
No, I know that, but we just... you're relaxing in a bathtub right now, Doctor?
Yes, I'm in the tub right now, Phil, taking a much-needed relaxing tub because... This is a time of year, as you know, that everyone's knocking on my door.
Because they believe that you're the vampire hunter?
They believe that that I'm still hunting vampires.
It's not the case anymore, is it, Doc?
No, and I know that it's colloquial, and I appreciate you, General Shaw, being familiar, but I don't like being called Doc because it makes me sound like a punk.
Dr. Barn, it's Margaret Gray.
Ah, Margaret, how are you? I've missed talking to you.
Yes. We apologize. I'm sure the general apologizes. Well, I don't know. What am I apologizing for?
What is he apologizing
for? He doesn't want to be called Doc.
I don't like being called Doc. Again.
I don't mean to call you a punk.
No, I know you don't, but it makes me sound, when you say, hey, Doc, I sound like anybody's little punk.
Dr. Barn, you've had a tough go of it, haven't you?
Well, no. In retrospect, I think what I had, Phil, was a good eye-opening experience, and that is that I spent, as you know, some 20 to 30 years hunting the undead, hunting those that I felt had been infected by the vampire. And,
You're talking about the what do you call it, a vampire?
Yeah, something like that. You know, this guy, I got a guy over here.
Wait a minute, wait. You know what, if I'm going to be disrespected, Dr. Barnes, I don't need to talk to you.
And it's Barn, not Barnes, if you don't mind.
I tell you what, you start talking to me with a little respect.
All right, I'm sorry, fuck.
All right, everybody just chill. Dr. Barn is with us because... it's Halloween, and a lot of people like to... People remember fondly when you were hunting vampires.
Oh, I'll bet they do. I'll bet everyone remembers fondly when I was out basically making an ass out of myself.
Well, were you really, though, Dr. Barn? Look, there are a lot of people in this world that believe in these kind of metaphysical, spiritual, or evil things. And you, of course, spent your fair time invested in that.
Oh, that's a very polite way of saying that. Hey, howdy, Hauser, give me some of that soap, will you? Excuse me, Phil, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Give me some of that, what do you call it, the chamomile stuff?
This stuff?
Yeah, let me have that. Yeah. No, Phil, it is my feeling that in the time that I was hunting the vampire and hunting what I thought was a very real threat of the undead, feeding off the living blood of human beings, that I was doing a great service. And as I continued to hunt, and I had a great many tragic mistakes.
Well, that's the thing I wanted to ask you about, Dr. Barn. You wound up driving a stake into the hearts of, like, guys that weren't vampires.
Yeah, you can put it that way if you want to, guys that weren't vampires. I opened up the crypts and the tombs of those that I thought were the undead, and I drove a stake through the chest cavity of those, I don't know.
Well, and then you also severed the heads of a few of them, right?
Yes, and don't think I didn't detect the laugh in your voice there, Phil.
Phil was not laughing.
Well, I heard, and you also severed the heads.
No, Dr. Barn, I did not. I'm asking specific, because these were people that were not vampires. They were just the family members of...
Yes, they had family. Phil, I can only tell you...
Let me ask you this. What led you to the tombs or the crypts or what have you, the remains of people, specific people who were not vampires?
I get an awful lot of correspondence. I was getting, in those days, a great deal of correspondence.
No, we're talking about the early 2000s.
The 1990s and the 80s, the late 80s through the 90s, the early 2000s. I was getting correspondence from a great many people who were saying, I fear, Dr. Bond, I fear for my sister. I fear for the soul. You have to understand what I was doing here. I was in communication with the very family members of people that were frightened for the souls of their loved ones.
Understood.
Yes. So give me a towel, will you? Okay, I'm standing with my dick hanging out.
You know, we're recording here.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
Here's your towel.
Thank you. I want to walk around a little bit, Phil, stretch my legs. It's been a very tough day.
Talking to Dr. Arthur Barn, who had at one time been the great vampire hunter, and stopped hunting vampires when he realized that they didn't, in your words, they didn't exist.
Yes. And it took a great many, and for people out there who are saying, oh, I feel so bad, oh, I'm so disappointed in you, Dr. Barn. Why would you say that? Why would you come out in the open and say that vampires don't exist? You have to understand, I opened up the tombs and the crypts and the coffins of perfectly dead people that I was led to believe by their family members that they were the undead. And I cut the heads off, shoved the mouth full of garlic.
And they weren't vampires at all.
No, they weren't vampires at all, Phil. Okay, as you get a little bit of a giggle there.
No, I'm not getting a giggle. Dr. Arthur Barn is our guest, and we have a couple of calls lined up from the Bobelia family. Okay, go ahead, sir. This is Ronald Bobelia.
Hello, Dr. Barn. This is Ronald Bobelia.
Yes.
You don't like hearing from me because you know that my uncle, one of the valued member of my family,
I've heard your story.
Well, I think the audience might want to hear my story, that my uncle, a valued member of our family and a stalwart member of the community, a man who is a war veteran and decorated veteran.
You thought he was a vampire.
Yes, we did. But then we found out after you drove a stake into him and shoved garlic in his mouth, and then you went, oops, you know.
I didn't say oops. I said it does not appear as if your uncle is, in fact, one of the undead. I don't think he's a vampire.
Yes, but you shoved us. The last thing I remember seeing of my uncle, him laying in that coffin with his mouth full of garlic.
Well, I did the very best I could. I was told by, I think it was your aunt, what is it, Aunt Susie or some jazz like that?
Yes, it's my, not some jazz like that. It's my aunt Susie.
Your Aunt Susie?
No, my Aunt Susie.
Your what?
What is it, sir?
A-M-P-T, Aunt Susie.
Why do you call her that?
Because she's missing a leg.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew that guy was an asshole from the gate.
Okay, all right, hold on. All right, so was that a real family?
Yes, there was a real family. And yes, I had apologized profusely to them for the what we called the unnecessary, but at the time we felt were necessary, treatments to the corpse of their uncle, who was, yes, a decorated war veteran, who they said to me was the undead.
Now, what did you do in those days to verify that people were, in point of fact, vampires?
We would do what you would expect us to do. We camped out next to the graveyard where they were, where they had been, their remains had been laid. We camped out. I had some binoculars, or sometimes we'd sit in the backseat of a station wagon, but we'd be parked around the corner. And we'd have binoculars on the crypt or the tomb or the grave to see if, in fact... Now, in the case of that gentleman, the Bobelia family, I saw someone wandering through the graveyard that was about the same height and the same weight And I assumed, and I said, aha, the undead, that is the vampire, and that is this uncle that this young man was just talking about. We waited for the sun to come up, because you're not...
But you don't attack him right then, right?
No, what I just said was you wait for the sun to come up. You don't attack a vampire while it's dark.
That's when they're at their highest powers, bud.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, if they existed, which we now know that they don't, but if a vampire existed, you don't go, oh, I think I'll wait for the sun to go down. Now let's go and take the head off or drive a stake through his heart. That's ridiculous. So we waited for the sun to come up. We went over to the crypt. We opened it up. I had a handful of garlic that I got out of a grocery, but I don't know. And I...
Where do you get the garlic?
I got it over here at Kroger's.
Okay.
And I shoved the garlic into the mouth, and I drove a stake into the heart. And I remember writing up, I got done with that, and I went over and I wrote the time and my expenses, and I wrote up a bill for the family. And
so you're writing up a bill for the family right after you drive a stake through the chest of their loved one.
Yeah, it's not unusual, Ms. Gray. It's something those of us in the vampire hunting business would do. Oh, God, I can't breathe.
We're talking here with Dr. Arthur Barne, and I can only tell you, Dr. Barne, that this is a career of yours that is replete with incidents like this, right?
Well, this is why I decided that I would stop hunting the vampire, that I realized that there were no vampires, that I was driving stakes and shoving garlic into the mouths of perfectly fine dead people. They weren't alive, but they certainly weren't walking the face of the earth at night as the undead. And I made an ass out of myself, to my colleagues, to my friends.
Why, you're taking a tub tonight, isn't it?
I didn't ask your opinion, just give me some.
Well, I think whoever that was.
It's Neaton, my attendant. Yes, he's right. It is why I'm taking a tub, because it's been a very...
Well, it sounds like it's, you know, if you finally come clean and you say there are no vampires, and have you made amends to these families whose the corpses of their loved ones you've desecrated?
I don't like to call it desecrate. I didn't cut, thank God, the people that we were in touch with, some of the heads that got cut off, I'm...
Oh, my God.
So you cut off the heads of some of them?
Yes, that's one of the things you do with a vampire.
What did those families say?
Most of them were just, you know, you live and you learn. You live and you learn.
You gotta be kidding me. The head gets cut off of their... Like who?
What do you mean, like who?
Like just a father, an uncle, a...
Oh, like in one place, a grandmother or a mother. The head had said, you know what, they're not a, it's not a, I don't think they're a vampire. And the family went, hey, you know, we live to fight another day. Let's go get breakfast. So,
let's go get breakfast, huh?
Yeah, that's right, Phil. Let's go get breakfast.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Arthur Barnes. Dr. Arthur Barne, I'm sorry.
Barne, B-A-R-N, like the barn standing on top of the hill.
Yeah, Dr. Arthur Barne. Who is on this Halloween, the occasion of Halloween, talking with us about his career as a vampire hunter, one that ended with him realizing there was no such thing as vampires. You still feel that way?
I feel that way, yes. I don't believe in the supernatural vampire. Do I believe there are bloodsuckers? All I have to do, Phil, is take a look at an alimony check that I continue to write, and I will write until the day I die, and well past an alimony check that runs at about $15,000 a month, huh? Does that sound...
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah, that's right, oh, my God. I was married 26 years to my wife, Govinda. So all I have to do is take a look at that alimony check, Phil, to realize, yes, indeed, my young friend, yes, indeed, there are bloodsuckers of this world.
All right, I don't want to get into disparaging your ex-wife or anybody else. We are talking here to Dr. Arthur Barne, former vampire hunter. So you went around and you cut off the heads and you put garlic into the mouth of and you stuck stakes to the chest of dead people that you realized were just dead. They were not the undead.
Yes, that is correct.
And so when did you finally say, you know what, there's no vampires?
Well, I can remember the day exactly. It was October the 27th, Phil, and this was in the year 2012. I had already been on your program, and I had talked about the vampire. I had made two specials, two Phil Hurry Show documentaries about the bloodsuckers, about the undead. But it was, I believe, in the years 2012 or 2013 when I was with a very dear friend of mine who used to assist me in many of the exorcisms and the repatriations of the souls that we would conduct in the graveyards. And I was about ready to drive a stake into the chest. I think it was a 55-year-old banker. This guy had died of a heart attack or something. And he had a wife that said, "Hey, I think he's a vampire." And what did I know? And it was so degenerate of me, because I was going and I was doing this at the behest of a woman that I got involved with.
I was going to ask you, you were sexually involved?
You know what? I don't want to get the...
So you got involved with the wife, the woman that wanted... Was this guy was dead?
Who?
The guy that you were driving the stake into.
Oh, yes, he was dead. And I got into a very, very intense relationship with this... Anyway, long story short, she got me believing that he was a vampire.
And you went over with who?
I went over with Terry Hoover, who was helping me out in those days, was carrying the stakes and...
Oh, I know Terry. Yeah, he was in radio.
Yeah, he'd worked over at K-Day for a while. But I hired him to carry the stakes in the garden. But I hired him to carry the stakes and the garlic as a part-time job. But I realized as I raised that hammer above that stake that night in the graveyard, it was a small little cemetery, Phil, over here in the ends of Borrego, out near San Diego. And I raised the hammer above the stake, and I looked at Terry and I said, "What am I doing?" And he said, "Well, you're going to get a vampire out of our lives." I said, "No, I'm not." I said, excuse my language, Margaret, and that. I said, "But I'm banging this guy's wife."
For God's sake.
I'm sorry, Margaret, but I'm banging this guy's wife, and I'm driving a stake into his chest because she said he's a vampire?
So you had lost track of...
I had lost myself. I had lost myself. I was drinking a couple of bottles of brandy a day. Here I am having sex with this some crone out in the desert. You think that's funny, huh?
A little bit. Yes, I do.
It was not funny to me, my friend, but that was the day that I said, you know what? I am going to tell the world that Dr. Arthur Barn has been made an ass out of. I was made an ass. This woman in the desert with the husband.
The guy was dead.
Who?
The guy you're putting a stake in.
Are you dumb or something?
All right, okay. I didn't know when you were talking about this guy. She said, my husband.
Yes, he was dead, for God's sake. He was there. I told you, it was a little graveyard over there near Thermal. So,
all right. So, when you realized that, did you put the stake into this guy's chest?
I went ahead and I put the stake in. Yeah, because I had the hammer raised. I went, "What am I doing?" And then bang! I threw the hammer into the bag that Terry was carrying, and I said, "Let's get out of here." And we wound up over at the Chart House in Palm Desert that afternoon. I had lunch, and I must have we drank until. Oh, 7 or 8, and I went home and just fell into bed. So I realized then that I had been living the life of a fool. And that there was no vampire. There was only the fool, Arthur Barn. And that's why, Phil, every Halloween I come on your program and other shows to tell people that take it from me, Dr. Arthur Barn, who drove a stake into the chest of perfectly dead people. They've... You know,
So when you drove the stake in the chest of a dead guy, he's not going to go, he didn't do that, right?
No, he didn't go, no, he didn't, no. And generally, that's what the vampire does. At least that's what they're supposed to do.
Well, did you ever, you've never found a vampire?
No, I didn't. Now, this is just...
Well, how do you know that's what they do?
That's what it says in the movies. What do I...
Did you ever meet anybody who was a vampire hunter who swore there were real vampires?
Other than me?
Yeah.
Oh, there were a couple of jokers. There was one, Dr. Teagan, worked up here at Cal State Northridge. I met a couple of guys from back east. There were guys who made claims. I never met one guy who had any kind of real scientific or factual proof that vampires existed.
So what, Dr. Barn, before we let you go, what led you to think, well, all right, so you said that you believed this one guy was a vampire because you were having sex with the guy's ex-wife.
Yes.
Dare I say that this was the reason why you got into vampire hunting in the first place?
Yes.
Dr. Barn, you're saying you got involved with the wives or girlfriends of dead men.
I was involved with, it started with this one young lady who felt that her ex-boyfriend was a vampire. The guy had died in a drag racing accident. And she said, I think you should remove the head and stuff the mouth full of garlic. I said, okay, and I went and I did it. Well, that shocked the hell out of her. She was stunned beyond words that Dr. Arthur Barn would do such a thing.
Did she have anything more to do with you?
No.
And, well, I don't blame her.
Okay, well, you know, hindsight being 20/20.
But that's what got you going.
You just sounded like you sounded like a lawnmower there, Phil. You went but.
That's what Phil's saying. That's what got you on the path of the vampire hunting.
That's pretty much it. Yes. And so when I say, do I believe in bloodsuckers, and I write an alimony check once a month to Govinda, you better believe I do, chump. I believe in bloodsuckers. I believe.
Dr. Arthur Barn.
And thank you for having me on your program again this year, Phil. And it's always a pleasure. It's not really, but I like to say that it's always a pleasure being on your program.
Well, it's nice to have you with us, Dr. Barn, if only to hear from a former vampire hunter who now doesn't believe in that stuff.
Yeah.
Dr. Barn, would you like to have the lavender soap?
Yeah, give me some of that lavender soap, because that shit just...
Dr. Arthur Barn, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, former vampire hunter, and now...
just a regular guy.
Just a regular guy. We'll be right back here. We have some stuff to follow up. I think we've got the Fall-tacular.
Bobby and Steve Dooley, the Fall-tacular took place a couple of weeks ago at Western Estates, so we'll get the loadout on that right after this.
Well, it was a wonderful weekend. It was a backstage pass festival, and we sold a lot of backstage passes, new VIP BSPs in the family, in the house, yeah. So if you couldn't take advantage of the sale, just keep this in mind. A month subscription is still under $10. For a year, it averages out to under $7 a month. It's the best value online other than porn. We really believe it, and we're willing to go to the mat just to say that. I don't know how we could prove it, but
Stop talking.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the greatest value online other than porn. All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, where they have had the Fall-tacular, and this is the week for Spookorama. Now, I know that Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills, has, of course...
Ted has Tedoween. Yeah, Tedoween's coming up on Halloween night.
All right. And Bobby, you and Steve and the Western Estates Homeowners Association, you guys have what you call Spookorama.
That's correct, Phil.
And then you also, I think Steve does the boogie.
Steve does the Steve's boogie. He wears skin-tight overall. That's for the Fall-tacular, though.
Yeah, that's Fall-tacular. That's not Spookorama.
No, that is not Spookorama. Spookorama is specifically. I'm sorry. Spookorama is
Spookorama.
I know, Steve. Spookorama is specifically for spook. The time the spooks are out.
You mean Halloween?
I'm sorry. Yes, Halloween. And Spookorama started out as something. It was a security situation. We were testing the security of Western Estates during those scary days and months and years following 9/11. Steve and I would enter people's homes dressed in goblin wear or dressed in ghoul wear, and really what we wanted to see if people were ready for anything, were they ready for a terror attack.
Now, you and I have had this argument, Bobby, and I don't want to have it again, but I don't know what gives you the right to enter people's homes.
We are the Western Estates Homeowners Association.
My wife's the president of Western Estates.
I know all about your wife being the president. How does that give her the right to go into people's homes?
We do it based upon the I'm the president of the Homeowners Association of Western Estates, okay?
I get that. I understand.
Okay, I just want to let you know.
Yeah, and?
What about
it? Oh, well, here's the thing. Because we had the security situation after 9/11, I had some superseding powers to be able to go into people's homes and to look around and make sure they weren't terrorists, okay?
Yeah, we've got to find out if they're terrorists.
So, Bobby, this wasn't about protecting people. You wanted to find out if they were terrorists. We all know about that that form of security for your place. You talked about it, but now you're talking about Spookorama. What gives you the right to go into people's houses?
Because people live here, and it's a holiday party event. We don't break in. We let ourselves in. We creep in, And when the homeowner gets up to see who's there, we leap out from behind. Tell him, Steve.
Yeah, we leap out from behind a curtain and we go, ah, you know. And if the person doesn't react, if they don't scream, if they don't say anything, if they just go, oh, hi, then they win. What do they win? Then they win. I mean,
no one's ever won it yet. We haven't figured out what they win, but we think they win a lot.
Yeah, they're going to win a lot.
They're going to win a lot. What is it that... What are they going to win?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be specific about what they're going to win.
I don't have to tell them. Nobody's won it yet.
Bobby, if you... First of all, I don't buy the fact that you have the right to break in. I know you don't break in, that you let yourselves in. What, do you have a pass key?
Yes, we have a pass key, a general pass key for all the homes at Western Estates, even though people own their own homes and they're not rental units. Because it is Western Estates, and we are all part of a very secure community, one that really transcends, I think, definitions of neighborhood. We are a family. Mm-hmm. We're a family, and we're trying to keep the family mood. And
all right, so what gives you the right to go into someone's home and scare them half to death?
Who said we scare people? Oh, my God.
You know that you've had incidents there, this spookorama. You scare people when you go into their house.
Phil, if Mr. Henry, if we go boo and they don't react, they get a big prize.
Yeah.
You haven't said what it is. What is it, Bobby?
Yeah, you should name it.
I challenge you to name what that prize is.
How dare you,
Bobby? We're not going to have you back on the show unless you say what is the prize.
Hold on. I just want to be clear. You will not have me, Bobby Dooley, back on your airwaves if I don't say what?
If you don't say what the prize is, if you break into somebody's house or whatever you call it.
It's Spookorama, Phil.
All right. If you go in during Spookorama and you come out from behind a curtain and you... Phil's choking.
Yeah, I can tell.
If you come out from behind a curtain and you go boo and they don't react, they go, oh, good evening, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley. What do they win? What do they win, Bobby?
Okay. They'll win $1,000.
Yeah, how about that?
No, that's cheap.
Yeah, that's cheap as hell.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
No, are you kidding me? Someone leaps out from behind. Yeah, right. Bobby, it has to be something significant.
All right, you name it.
6 months' worth of mortgage payments.
You out of your mind? Oh, my God, who's going to pay that?
Shut up, Steve. Who would pay that?
You would. Yeah, how about you? I'm telling you.
Yeah, you come out from behind a curtain and you go, yeah... And the people don't get scared? Yeah, you gotta pay their mortgage.
6 months worth of mortgage payments. I like that. I don't think it's enough. I think it ought to be... You could kill somebody. In fact, you know, Bobby, you've sent at least two people to the hospital with this spookorama jazz.
And they signed a consent form saying, we did expect the spookorama.
I don't believe that for a minute. We don't think that that's legitimate.
You know something, Mr. Henry? I've about had it with your insinuations and your insinuations or however you say that. I've had it with it.
Yeah, we've had it.
I don't think I want to come on your show anymore.
Yeah, that's your choice.
Okay, so you're insinuating basically that that people were seriously injured during Spookorama.
I know of two people that fainted from fright. Yeah.
Well, I'm here to tell you, those people signed release forms saying that everything was fine.
Yeah, I'll bet they did. I don't know what you have on a lot of these people, but I don't see it, man. I don't see somebody breaking, or whatever you want to call it, you know, letting yourself in, jumping out from behind a curtain and going, blah,
forget it.
Yeah, people, and when they scream, you're saying that there's never been any heart attacks?
We haven't had anybody faint. If we have had people faint, they've retracted it.
Yeah, they retracted fainting.
They retracted fainting. All right, if you don't want to be on the show anymore.
I'm only kidding.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Bobby, I, you know, we respect you and we appreciate what Western Estates has been able to accomplish, which, yeah, whatever that is.
Whatever that is, we are a safe...
God, how dare you? How dare you?
You're the guy in the skin-tight overalls come fall-tacular.
We already had the fall-tacular, and the ladies loved it, huh?
They did. They really love it when Steve's in the skin-tight overalls doing the zigzag.
Yeah, and I did the skip step, too.
I think what you're doing is ridiculous. I know you've been doing it for years. That's fine. I can't believe that people haven't been scared to death of you jumping out from behind a curtain. Spookorama.
Yeah, just because you call it Spookorama doesn't give it legitimacy.
Well, we've had a lot of people have a lot of fun with it. And they've said, oh, my God, Bobby, You scared me, Coffee.
I don't believe that.
You know, Mr. Henry, you sitting there calling me a liar, I'm going to get real tired of that. You know, you getting so far up my nose, I can feel your boots on my chin.
Thank you, Bobby.
Are you monkeys trying to...
Bobby and Steve Dooley on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
They said that they're not going to be on the show anymore.
But then she said she was only kidding. Spookorama is bullcrap, okay? Yeah, I mean, that's just bullcrap. Well, it doesn't sound legal. The fact that there's been no complaints, that nobody's filed a police report, that's astounding. I don't know what she's got on those homeowners over there. But as we've said before, the Western Estates situation is not so much a homeowners association as it almost feels cult-like.
Well, they have these dances. They have their Easter dance around a bonfire. They have these drumming sessions that are frightening, that have scared people.
Yeah, so like at a Midsummer or something.
There you go, right there. At Midsummer? Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, yeah, I would. I bet you someday Ms. Dooley is going to, like, set fire to Steve Dooley when he's in a bear costume or something.
Oh, jeez. What are you gibbon monkeys talking about now?
You never saw Midsummer?
No, I did not see Midsummer.
Well, it's a pretty disturbing flick.
Yeah, and it's, when did you see it, General?
My wife and I watched it one night.
Yeah, it gave me the creeps.
It's pretty creepy.
Well, what's it about?
I can't tell you. It's about a young woman who goes to a Scandinavian country with a boyfriend that she's breaking up with, and she's trying to make the relationship work, and she just gets into this village full of just weird asses, just weird Scandinavian pagans who, like, it's creep city, man.
Yes, pretty it is. It's very creepy.
Well, oh my God.
Yeah, I suggest you watch it, and then you tell me. And you guys out there, if you've ever seen Midsummer, watch Midsummer. It's fantastic. All right, that's all we got, baby. That's it. That's it for me.
And where do I find this Midsummer?
It's probably on the cable or something.
Yeah, look it up on, what's the guy, Phil?
Ari Aster.
What's that?
That's the name of the director.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's what we think is going on at Western Estates. We don't think that's a homeowners association. We think they got a Midsummer going there, man. We think Bobby, she's got garlands of flowers in her hair. Man, she's all messed up.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
Shut up!
Thanks to all of our new BSPs. We love you. Thank you. Don't forget Ted Oween coming up this week. We'll have Ted Bell on to talk about another promotion he's bombing.
Don't tell him that to his face.